I'm speaking today with Angelique Marie Morasty-Levac, owner of Angelique's Native Arts in downtown Prince George. Angelique, thank you so much for talking with me today.
You're welcome.
So before we start talking about the fundraising campaign that Kimguchi has started, perhaps you could tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your store.
Well, I've been here for since 1993 I started. So I started on George Street. It wasn't so bad then. Now I'm on 335 Dominion Street. They tore my building down where I was before, otherwise I wouldn't move. I'd be still there. And I started this business all on my own. I haven't never got no grants or anything. When I first started my business, when I'm trying to get a loan, I was told I didn't have a business background, I wouldn't make it. So I'm still here.
Yeah. What were those early days like back on George Street? Was it stressful, exciting? Was it fun?
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was really good. I was right across from Mata Hotel. And then there was a PG hotel that they tore that down. And so they tore all the old buildings down. And I did really well. I kind of just winged it. And yeah, I talked about always starting my own business because I do some form of art. I do the birch bark biting. And that's how I started it. I figured, well, I can't make a living doing this, so I got to do something else. So that's what I did.
Did you always know you wanted to sell art and artisan products, or did you think about a few different ideas before you landed on that?
No. I always wanted to do something with my life. I was raised with my grandparents in Manitoba in a trap line, and I didn't have any kind of form of education. So I had to learn everything. And I know this sounds really funny. I always dreamed of working in a restaurant. It's just not ever really weird. But I couldn't take notes because I couldn't spell. So everything is self-taught. I took night school when my children were small and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I know I couldn't get hired on anywhere because of lack of education. So I just went through what I knew, what I was taught. My grandparents taught me how to do beadwork and all that. And I like art. I like doing stuff with my hands. And then when I read about my teacher named Angelique Morasty from Beaver Lake, Saskatchewan, and she had same name as mine. We're not related. We have same name. And then when I read about her in the magazine that she didn't have no children to pass the artwork on to, and then I was that person. Something came over me that I was that person to learn this art. And because of my birch bark writing, got me in places I never dream of. And one of them is starting my own business. How it started was a lady was purchasing my art in Edmonton, one of the craft shows. And she brought me with her, and I was demonstrating. And I was looking around me while I was demonstrating for her just to sell my work. And I'm thinking, gee, I could do this myself. I'm looking around all the people selling other stuff, and I'm thinking I could do the same thing. And that's how it started. With my store friend, it started really slowly, and when I opened it, I had a lot of my own stuff and my friend's stuff, and I took consignments, and that's how I started.
And what are the products that you sell now? What are some of the things that you're most excited about, or something that's new to the store?
I do a lot of beadwork, handcrafted stuff from local artists. I try to support the local artists in Prince George. I go as far as Stony Creek, that's in 20 minutes from Vanderhoof, and all over all the other communities in here, they bring in their stuff in here and I buy it. I used to take consignments, but it was just too much paperwork, and so now I just purchase right out. And not only that, I'm very fair with the other artists because I'm an artist myself. I know how hard it is to work on items and crafts and stuff like that. Yes, I carry a lot of beaded stuff. I carry moccasins, Manitoba mukluks, which is one of them that was stolen from here. Numerous times they've been stolen from here. And I carry pictures, carvings. I carry a lot of, wooden carvings and clothing. I even carry clothing. I carry everything you can think of.
Yeah. So you mentioned the recent robberies. Perhaps we could talk a little bit about that. I understand you experienced three robberies in 2020, most recently just before Christmas. That's a lot, especially for a small business.
It's very discouraging. Mm-hmm. When it happened the third time, it was like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can handle this. It's getting scary, and mm-hmm. with the COVID too and all that. So it's easier for people to go out there and commit crime with their masks on. And then this is what happened in here. The first time it happened, my friend was here helping me. So she was alone in here working for me. The guy came in and she just had this feeling that this guy was going to do that. So she goes and stand in front of him. And the guy started opening the mukluks. And he says, oh, that's what I'm just checking. And then and she says, no, I can help you. I can help you. And then so she put him down, and then he pushed her down, and he grabbed the mufflers and ran out.
Oh, that's really scary.
She tried to grab him and all that, but she couldn't do it. So a few weeks later, 3 weeks later, the same guy comes back again. There were two of them. The girl was here too, and she left. She did, you know. And then the second time it happened, we were always, I was here. There was actually four of us. I had two customers, two ladies were watching all this, what was happening. And then she called me over and she said, are you done what you're doing, Angelique? And then I looked at her and I knew something was up. It was the same guy. He was just standing in there looking at the mufflers, and I go to the door and I go try to lock the door, but I couldn't, it didn't lock. So he grabbed the mufflers and ran, and both her and I tried to grab him, you know, but he overpowered us. And
yeah.
we're elderly, you know, we're elderly ladies now. We're not young. So I ran after him, running down the street, screaming and hoping somebody will grab him and grab my mukluks, you know. And there was a guy on 4th Avenue. He owns a men's department store. I don't know what it's called, but the young guy came running out and he heard me screaming. And I said, he stole my mukluks from my store. And the guy started running after him, but it was already a block over. And
yeah.
I was out there running with nothing on. It was cold. Anyway,
yeah.
This is what happened. It was pretty scary. And the thing was, and when I ran out to run after him, I told my worker, I said, call 911. And she did call 911. You know what? Nobody came. He never came. The first time we didn't call the police, because she said she was so upset. She said, I don't want to talk about it. It's too, she was just shaking. She was so mad that this happened to her. She called me. I was at home. And I said, did you call the police? She said, I don't know what to say. They don't do nothing anyway. Just as well, they were right. They didn't, when it happened second time, we did call 911. And and then this is not very after that, Kim came along and she seen us all. I was holding my hand, and my hand got hurt because we tried to grab him, and I hurt my hand in the meanwhile this happened. We were all shooken up anyway, but nobody came.
Yeah,
nobody came. That was a robbery. That was a robbery, and
yeah.
It was not just a break in. And then, do you think maybe you would be concerned to come in here and check us out, see what happened instead? They told us that we couldn't hurt the guy.
That's interesting.
Yep. We would be charged. We'd be charging. We hit him with something because.
That's a really scary story and quite a disappointing reaction from a 911 call. Thank you for sharing that.
It is. It is. It. It is. You know, it's really hard not to think that because I'm a native store, why don't they care? And you know, other places, I'm sure other places call 911 if somebody broke in at different stores. Like, you know, like they would be right there. Why didn't they come and see us and talk to us?
Yeah, it's hard to
But
imagine that
anyway.
happening to some of the other, like a big box store or some of the other stores downtown, even.
Yeah. But I'm just a little tiny, I'm just a tiny little store here, you know, trying to make a living. And I'm here, people are robbing us. I mean, they come in here and rob us.
Yeah, and I
Right.
mean you're a small business and a small business owner, but you've also been a pillar in Prince George, like you mentioned, since 1993. It's
Oh,
a
I've been here for so long. I supported a lot of artists and stuff like that. And I still do. I still do. But it's getting harder right now. I know I have to lock my doors now, and then I have to choose who comes into my store. I have to always watch the door and open the door for customers now. It's literally getting really scary in this area. So therefore, I always wanted a surveillance camera before, but I realized they were so expensive, and it's and then it, you know, to install them, I can't do it myself. You have to hire somebody. So I checked around. You know, it would cost like the lowest is $80 an hour. It was $100 an hour, and then it take them 8 hours to install the cameras. So I look into it already, and then yeah.
Had you experienced any robberies prior to last year?
I have, except I didn't know there was a lot of mukluks went missing because I had them all sitting there and stuff like that till I start. There was when I first, I don't know, maybe you can look that up. And when I first moved into on George Street in Prince George, I was robbed. It was on actually they had it was on TV, and then they had, I don't know what you call those things. A guy came in there and took $5,000 carving. He just grabbed it and left and took with it. That was my first robbery that happened in a store, and I wasn't there, though I had a worker there.
Do you feel
So
like there's, you mentioned it's getting scary downtown. Do you feel like it's getting worse than those early days when you opened up your store?
especially now, because everybody's wearing a mask, you don't know who it is. You don't know, you can't recognize the people. You just look at their eyes. And so
Do you find there's support from your neighbors from other businesses downtown? Do you find these conversations are happening about how much scarier it
I
is?
have I'm right at Crisscross from City Secondhand. I went and see them and asked if that girl came in there, but they weren't really they were really wanting to help me. They wanted to check the camera, but they didn't know how to rewind it because that girl went in there. I wanted to see how she looked. That she partnered up with this guy that stole. She was waiting there while this guy came in here. So they were pretty helpful. They were really trying to help me get somebody to get some cameras up and stuff like that, information. And so. Yeah, I don't have very many neighbors in here. There's in the corner, there's White Ghost Bistro restaurant. They're way on the other end. And next door here, there was barber shops. She moved, so this place was empty for a long time, but somebody just moved in there now. She can hear, and she, so yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I imagine your hope calling 911 is that the police might do some of this work of trying to track down that video footage and that kind of thing.
No, they didn't. They
Yeah.
didn't even come and see us. It was very disappointing. And I didn't follow up on it because I just know that nothing is going to come of it because they're just going to take information and that's it. Now, at that time, if they would have come out while I was running down the street, they had a lot of time to come or look or because I was following the guy and then all somebody. You know, we were following that person in good at least good 15 minutes.
Yeah, so there was an opportunity for them to
Yeah.
come down. What's your take as a downtown business owner on these conversations around quote unquote downtown issues like property theft and substance use and the visual impacts of poverty and marginalization? What are your thoughts on those? There's lots of conversations happening right now.
I think it depends on the location where you are, right? The city are more likely to, they focus on Fourth Avenue, right? Mm-hmm. They put trees in there to beautify it. I'm right in the middle between Fourth and Third. I'm in the middle. I just feel like I've been forgotten, you know, like, I'm sure if I didn't do the ads and all that I do on the radio sometime, I do a lot of advertising for my store so people can find me. Some people didn't even know we didn't know we were here. I said, I've been here since 1993, you know, I moved from over there to here. Yeah, I feel like some of us are forgotten that are hidden in between, in the corners or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel. I feel like I do have, downtown, sometime before the COVID, I got involved, like people having set up on the streets to sell your product.
Oh, yeah.
So I was involved in that a little bit, but now that there's a COVID things happening, it's people are being forgotten, some of us anyway.
Yeah, it's a tough year already with COVID, and then to have all these robberies, and it's really tough. So this fundraising campaign is on GoFundMe. It's organized by local musician and your friend, Kim Gucci.
Yeah, she did that because she was here, and we were pretty shaken up, and I was telling her that she says, don't you have a camera? And I said, well, I can't really afford it. That's a big... I did go purchase a camera, and now I'm just looking for somebody to put it up. Mm-hmm. I need a technician, and then I need to learn how to... I think I have to also, if I want to check it, I have to get internet access or something. I'm not sure how this thing goes. But
yeah.
Anyway... You have to be a technician, I think, to set that up and all that. And
yeah.
I did look around. So, yeah, she's trying to help me on that. And I really appreciate what she's doing for me. And I never really thought about that. I never asked for help before. And she just figured I really needed help. And because of what's happening, too, she felt sorry for me. Holding my hand, nearly crying, you know, when she was here. But that, after that happened, when we got robbed.
Yeah, I think having that security system would help your business, and also maybe help with that feeling of fear, because it's really scary to be robbed repeatedly.
Yeah, yeah, and not only that feeling, like you're not being helped by the law. You know, when you call them, they don't come. You know. I can't believe it. I never called back and asked them why they didn't come. Why didn't they come?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Angelique, thank you so much for sharing your story with me, for taking the time for this today. I'm really sorry that you've had these experiences, and I hope that this fundraising campaign helps mitigate some of the damage there.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your concerns. And I also want to thank Kim for doing this for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blessing to have as a friend.